And that's where we're going to begin this hour, too, because it is time for Stroman on Sports. We've got Dr. Deb Stroman on the line, sports commentator, analytics expert, former star basketball player in her own right, joining us now on the phone here in the studio to talk about March Madness. Debbie, thanks for being with us. How excited are you about this week?
Every year, you've tried to calm yourself and say, oh, it's just another year. But as soon as it hits, everything gets elevated. Everything goes to the next level in terms of what's going to happen to your team. And more often than not, what's going to happen to the teams that you hate?
Absolutely. And speaking of which, this is the year that a lot of people, including Jay Billis, including myself, are picking to be the year that Carolina and Duke finally meet in the national championship game. The way both teams are playing, there's a lot to get through before we get to that. But the way both teams are playing, it's looking likelier this year than in years past.
Absolutely. I'd like to throw out a few little tidbits that might help people with their brackets or even thinking about what's going to happen with the Battle of the Blues. All former winners of this championship have had at least 25 wins. And when you do that, out of the 64, you're left with 21 teams. Out of those 21 teams that are left, 16 out of the 17 previous national champions, they had what's called an adjusted offense efficiency, as in when they were on the offensive end, they did very smart things with the ball. And when you think about offensive efficiency, you've got 17 left. And that includes Duke, Gonzaga, Kentucky, Michigan State, UNC, and UVA. And then to pare that down again, when you think about the strength of schedule, as in talking about Ken Pomeroy, who will be at this year's Basketball Analytics Summit, the strength of schedule is very, very important. And then it boils down even to a smaller number. But the one factor that I will bring up is that 10 out of the 11 national champions all shot at least 70% from the free throw line. Duke is removed with that factor.
It
will be interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
They don't shoot the three-point well, and they don't shoot free throws well. So will they continue?
Interesting. And, I mean, you just mentioned, I mean, the seven teams that you mentioned there, Duke, UVA, UNC, Michigan State, Gonzaga, Kentucky, add Tennessee to it, and those are your one and two seeds. And, I mean, those seven teams that you mentioned, I think, are the teams that everyone is picking to at least make it to the Elite Eight and then start eliminating themselves as they get into the Final Four. So it seems to be, if things hold, that all of those trends are going to continue again this year.
Well, that's definitely true. I know I always do a bracket based on my heart and then a bracket based on my head. And I haven't switched it yet, and I know I still have time. But there's a side of me that is looking at three teams in particular. Number one is Houston. I believe that Houston can be a Final Four team. They've been under the radar. Some people will say, well, their strength of schedule is not strong. But Kelvin Sampson, he is the coach there. He's had some NCAA violation problems at different schools, but the man can coach. And I think that team has only lost maybe twice, maybe three times. And they are ready to prove that they are definitely ready for this big stage. They've been in the top 10 all year. The second team is Texas Tech. We know they're playing more than football in that state. I could see them advancing. And then it's probably not good for this area, but I will state it. I believe that Virginia Tech can beat Duke. Their star point guard is coming back, and Virginia Tech is a three-point shooting team. And plus, they're not going to be intimidated by Duke. They've already played them and beaten them.
I want to go back to Texas Tech for a second, because I think I remember last year us having this conversation and you calling Texas Tech to win it all. And then they did actually make the Elite Eight, which surprised a lot of people. How high are you on Texas Tech this year compared to last year?
I have them going to the Final Four, and I still haven't decided whether I'm going to pick them to take it all the way. But they've got experience. They have a good – they obviously make it this level with their success, with their program, not just the team. They know how to play the game, and they're used to the bright lights. I would love to see, you know, ACC teams in the Final Four. That would just be incredible if the three top ACC programs make it. But it's definitely going to be a challenge. But Carolina is built to win all of this. They should be very disappointed not beating Duke in the big game. That was one of the most watched sporting events ever. And I think they have everything. They've got a point guard that can score, mm-hmm. which is often common in the winning teams. They've got the best coaching. And I think the bench is getting more and more used to, you know, having to make some baskets, having to play their role. So Carolina would not surprise me. UVA, although, you know, I love UVA, I'm still not 100% on them making it to the Final Four. I did watch the press conference after their loss to Florida State, and Ty Jerome was the coldest guy I've ever seen in sports, probably next to Coach Pop when he talks to reporters with the San Antonio Spurs. But Ty Jerome was very, very upset. And I know Virginia's going to go into the tournament with a chip on his shoulder.
Absolutely. Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, and I got to say, I've got Michigan beating Texas Tech and then going on to the Final Four from there. But if you look at my if you look at the sheet of paper that I used for the bracket for that game, Michigan-Texas Tech, I've got scribbles back and forth because I kept going back and forth between those two teams based a lot on what you had said about them last year and how well they had played this year. I do have Michigan going because I think pretty much every year you can count on one Big Ten team making it, and I don't think it's going to be Michigan State this year just because they're banged up and they're in Duke's bracket. Michigan got the best bet, but that's good. If those two teams make it to the Sweet 16 against each other, that's going to be a really good game to watch.
Well, definitely. And then the conversation starts about which conference is the best,
mm-hmm.
You know, whether or not the refereeing will allow the players to play. Which really, really makes a big difference for programs, because if you have one particular style, that can affect, you know, how you're trying to transition and actually have to play to the ref. Another fun trivia fact is the different types of basketballs. So many programs have the opportunity to choose their ball, whether that's a Wilson ball, Spalding ball, a Nike ball, or an Adidas ball. And the ACC, a lot of the teams use the Nike ball or the Spalding ball. And the NCAA tournament is the Wilson ball. And there are some coaches that will, regardless of where they're playing and practicing, they will always practice and pull off that Wilson ball, because that can make a difference for a shooter. Not for great shooters. They'll shoot any type of ball. But it's interesting to know that you even have a bit of capitalism going on with which selection of balls you use for the national championship tournament.
Who is your Cinderella?
Well, you know, that's a great question, because I picked some teams that are very, very good, and they're not out of the radar, but they aren't. They don't get the flash and the attention, which is Houston and Texas Tech and Virginia Tech. But I've definitely I'm definitely paying attention to that Marquette Murray
matchup. State, yeah.
Yeah, I picked Marquette because they seem to have a better body of work, but there's no doubt the Ja Morant is going to be a great player in the NBA, and all eyes are on him. And if he can get past that first round, you know, Florida State might have their hands full with him.
And then finally, as we wrap up this portion of the conversation, going all the way, who's beaten who in the finals? Who do you have?
Well, I think right now I'm going to stick with my first bracket delivery, where I said I'm going to go sentimental. And I picked Virginia, although with the brain, I'm going to go with Purdue. In the Midwest, definitely the heart and the brain says North Carolina, mm-hmm. but I would not be surprised to see Houston come out of there. In terms of the West, I am not going with Gonzaga. I definitely did a solid Texas Tech. But again, there could be some sleeper that could make it to the Final Eight at least. And then for the East, I am going with Virginia Tech to beat Duke and take them out. And then I would not be surprised to see Michigan State go ahead and pull that off.
I'm totally on board with that. Who do you have winning it all?
Right now I have Carolina,
mm-hmm.
But we'll see if that changes over time. But I think Carolina could definitely bring the ring home back to the triangle. The other thought would be you know, a team like a Texas Tech will be able to do it.
Yeah, we'll find out soon enough. Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, again, March Madness getting underway this week. Carolina in the tournament beginning on Friday at 9:20, taking on Iona in round number one. Wrapping up that part of the conversation, but I know you've got a couple things coming up off the court in the next month. First up is the Basketball Analytics Summit, which you're in the process of organizing. Tell us about that. What's it going to entail?
Absolutely. So this is the fourth Basketball Analytics Summit. It's going to be hosted by North Carolina Central and American Underground, which is the big accelerator for entrepreneurs in the region, noted as one of the biggest in the Southeast. But we are going to, again, dish dunk data around marketing and ticketing, X's and O's, sports science, fan engagement, and entrepreneurship in tech. We've got some amazing people coming. A lot of Tar Heel folks know about Dean Oliver. He is a brilliant mind in this space, considered the godfather of basketball analytics. And he did a lot of work understanding Dean Smith's analytical mind, and it's been passed on throughout the country. We've got Ken Pomeroy, who's considered men's basketball number one college statistician. For anybody who's been to kenpom.com and you just see a lot of numbers and you're confused, come out to the summit because he's going to explain it all. And then I'll also lift up Kirk Goldsberry. He was noted as not only being an NBA basketball analytics guy for the Spurs, for USA basketball, but also he started introducing analytics on the defensive side of the ball, using a lot of visualization and mapping. And, of course, I have to mention Coach Eddie Curry. She is the only female basketball coach for men's basketball Division I, and she is a super analytics person. I think hearing her voice will be really, really powerful and a lot of best practices. So that's the BasketballAnalyticsSummit.com to learn more.
Awesome. Is that just Basketball Analytics Summit or the Basketball Analytics Summit?
It is the Basketball Analytics. Well, the website is Basketball Analytics Summit.
Okay.
But it is the number one hoops conference in the country. And I will say this on air. We are running a March Madness special, 20% off until Sunday night. And when you register, just type in March Madness.
Awesome.
But that will end on Sunday night.
BasketballAnalyticsSummit.com for more on that. Yeah. And moving away from sports, you're also heading up the Orange County Human Relations Commission, and we've got the Community Read coming up in April, right?
Yes. One more thing with sports. I do want to mention UNC Women's Basketball. They have a tough draw. I know they can do it. But they do have to play Cal, which is a solid team, Cal Berkeley. But then they are also lined up with the number one overall seed for women's basketball, which is Baylor. Now, can they win? Absolutely. But we need to send a lot of positive thoughts out to Waco, Texas to support the women's
basketball. They beat Notre Dame. They beat NC State. They can beat anyone this year, I think.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So, but yes, Community Read. So we are asking, since we are such a highly educated community, we love to read. One of the most powerful books that I've ever read in my life is called Evicted by Matthew Desmond. And a lot of people have already read it, but it is about extreme poverty and the economic exploitation that happens in housing, and not only from the perspective of the tenants, but also the landlords. And so we'll all be coming together as a community. We have two opportunities for us to come together and chat and discuss and go over the themes of the book. And that's April 3rd and April 24th.
And I had a chance to read this already, and it really is a terrific book, and it really brings you into the lives of the people on all sides of the issue so that you really get at this very, very difficult question from a whole bunch of different perspectives.
Yeah, and I think it's very, very applicable in our community because we have such a disparity in terms of socioeconomics. We've got issues around race relations. We definitely don't have enough affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the timing of April being Fair Housing Month, and we've got great partners involved in this, I think it's time for this community conversation.
Absolutely. And people want more information on that. Where can they go?
So visit the Orange County government website, Orange County, I want to say nc.gov,
mm-hmm.
but just Google Orange County, North Carolina, Human Relations, and it'll pop up. And of course, we have a Facebook page as well, Orange County Human Relations Facebook page, and you can take a look at all of our activities and have the see the flyer there about the Community Read.
And that is Stroman on Sports for this week. Dr. Debbie Stroman, thank you so much.
Thank you.